I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. Diagnosing cancer early, a goal of Emile K. Shandal, who holds a MS degree and a PhD degree and was awarded an MD degree by the Faculty of Medical Alternative Institute at the Open International University for Complementary Medicine, established by the WHO. He is a fellow in the National Academy of Clinical Biochemistry, a specialist in clinical chemistry in the American Society of Clinical Pathology, a licensed nutritional consultant in the state of Florida, a clinic laboratory director in all 50 states, a board member in the Florida section of the American Association of Clinical Chemistry, a past recipient of a research grant from the American Cancer Society and the National Research Council of Canada for researching early events in DNA replication in cancer cells. He is a fifth-degree USA Goju Karate Black Belt and a multiple state of Florida senior swimming and karate champion. Dr. Shandal graduated with the BA degree in analytical biology at the University of California in Santa Barbara, California, and earned the MS degree in biochemistry and zoology at California State University in San Diego, California. Later, he received a PhD in molecular genetics at the Institute of Molecular Biophysics, housing normal laureates at Florida State University in Tallahassee, Florida. Currently, he is the lab director for American Metabolic Laboratories in Hollywood, Florida, and Metabolic Research 501c3 organization, and president of International Health Consultants. He is the designer of the Cancer Profile and the Longevity Profile. Dr. Shandal is a frequent speaker at the Cancer Control Society in California, where he received the Humanitarian Award, Medical Pioneer in Alternative Laboratory Testing, and also for the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. He was inducted as an Ambassador in the Martial Arts Humanitarian of the Year by Action Martial Art Magazine and Hall of Honor. He is also presenter for cancer control groups statewide. His main passion is early cancer detection and metabolic therapy. Dr. Shandal is highly known, respected, and highly sought after for his expertise in cancer and its prevention, interpreting clinical lab results, metabolic disorders, clinical chemistry, biochemistry, and his metabolic nutritional knowledge. Dr. Shandal published numerous papers, peer-reviewed, and other articles in the field of cancer, multiple sclerosis, hypertension in children, fluoridation of water, enzymology, and DNA replication. He has been interviewed on numerous radio shows, television shows, and newspapers and magazines on health topics, and more information is available at www.americanlaboratories.net-shandal.html. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Shandal, and I look forward to hearing about cancer profile tests and other important tests that you have developed. Now, first, what is the cancer profile test and why did you develop it?
I was working in a nuclear medicine department at one of the local hospitals in Hollywood, Florida. We were doing diagnostic with bone marrow, which I experienced, and nuclear medicine procedures. And I was thinking there must be a non-invasive way to detect and follow cancer. But my main interest in cancer was, or became, when I learned that my mother had leukemia. That was back where I'm from, in Budapest. And she passed away at the age of 50.
Oh.
Some of that is to be blamed on the medication I sent her from the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was American, this will be good, but it was very toxic.
Right.
Called Mylaren or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother had cancer. He had prostate cancer. He prayed a lot, but he would not listen to change his lifestyle. And so he was put under by various therapies. My sister had melanoma and thyroid cancer. She had this so many years ago. She's doing my metabolic program, and she claims that, and so many others, that if she didn't change her lifestyle, then she wouldn't be around.
Right, right.
She's 81 now.
Oh.
And my aunt had breast cancer. She never saw a doctor. It was oozing open, and she lived with that for, I think that was 12 or 15 years, you know, without trusting anybody to look at her breast and her boo-boo there. My grandfather had leukemia, so I am probably, maybe certainly, packed with cancer genes. I am in a hospital here and working with and diagnosing cancer patients in nuclear medicine, and I could just see what my relatives went through just for diagnosis. So I started to study what there might be that could, in a way, at least augment, supplement.
Right.
Available diagnostic procedures. And I started to learn about the HCG hormone, human chorionic gonadotropic hormone, and more I learned about an enzyme called PHI. And then I wanted to relate not only to the cancer, but some organ, which cancer usually, one way or another, will involve. That's either the therapy or the cancer will go there. So in the cancer profile, I put in a test for the liver. That's the most sensitive test for that, called GGTP, gamma glutaminyl peptidase. I include that thyroid-stimulating hormone, will test for lower high thyroid activity, and also DHEA, dehydroepiandrosterone. Every one of these is constituents, so actually play a major role in health, carcinogenesis, or the treatment of. Now, the HCG hormone is the pregnancy hormone. I also call it the malignancy hormone as well, because we find about 85% of every single individual who has cancer has HCG in their blood. And it seems that who are developing cancers has HCG in their blood. And that's going to be years before a tumor can be detected. And HCG can only be elevated either, of course, in pregnancy, there's no pregnancy without it, or in malignancy or in a developing cancer. So it has tremendous value as to, in a sense, foretell even a developing cancer. There is no signs or symptoms of it. There were some publications so many, many years ago when I started this, which is 30-some years ago, showing that the HCG hormone is present in cancers at diagnosis, but there is one publication that showed that HCG was present about 3 or 4 years prior to cancer before it was diagnosed.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So I call the HCG hormone the autocrine proliferating factor, which means that cells that make it will reproduce. And it is. I see that, interestingly, did research it at the American Metabolic Laboratories, where I am in Hollywood, Florida, that HCG is present in normal, non-diagnosed, non-suspected 72% of peri-postmenopausal women. And a lesser percentage of men. And these people have HCG because it doesn't belong there, because it will cause cells to proliferate carcinogenic. Knowing that this hormone is present could save lives by defeating it and putting back to putting back the system without that hormone. So I think doctors are still not very sensitive to this thing.
Right.
The
right,
answer
definitely.
The answer to this kind of HCG would be is bioidentical hormone replacement. These peri-postmenopausal women, older or elderly men who no longer have enough sex hormones, will cause the pituitary gland to produce large amounts of LH, luteinizing hormone, FSH, follicle-stimulating hormone, and these are messengers from the brain, from pituitary to the ovaries, uterus, and to testicles. And while the pituitary is working hard, banking out many, many extra copies of these messengers, makes a mistake, and it generates a hormone. It is called HCG-like. It is not exactly HCG, but it does have HCG activity, and it has tumorigenic, carcinogenic effect.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like a fairy tale, but it's been published in the American Journal of Clinical Chemistry some years ago. And also, how to stop this hormone production with the bioidentical hormone replacement would be one thing. Of course, a lifestyle change also would be very important because we don't exactly know whether that HCG is pituitary or tumor generator.
Mm-hmm.
So HCG was tested by Dr. Navarro so many mm-hmm. years ago, mm-hmm. decades ago, and still sending their blood to the Philippines to have that test done.
Right,
unfortunately, right. Their test is nowhere, does nowhere have the sensitivity and accuracy as what we do. You know, their mm-hmm. cutoff value is 50. Our
right,
cutoff
right.
value is less than 1. And Dr. Navarro, the younger doctor, never answered me as to what is there between 1 and 50. So that's not a good test.
I know a lot of people use this. A lot of people that I interact with use this as both a initial diagnostic and also as a way of following, so that like every 3-4 months, if it's over the 50, they have it done again to see if they're moving toward being under 50. Because as you say, he had the 50 as the cutoff point. So it's not that accurate.
No, it's not accurate at all. Because especially for older people, they are generating a lot of FSH, phosphorylated hormone, LH, and that is extremely similar to HCG.
Mm-hmm.
What he's measuring is probably HCG, if there is any.
Mm-hmm.
TSH, LH, FSH, these four hormones are extremely similar.
Mm-hmm.
They each have two subunits, alpha, beta, and the alpha subunit is identical of every one of these four hormones.
Mm-hmm.
That's the beta, which makes them actually hormone-specific. But I'm convinced that he's doing a test where he cannot distinguish between these four hormones. So
mm-hmm.
if somebody's hypothyroid, it's going to have a high HCG according to his test. If somebody is mm-hmm. losing sex hormones because of age or surgery or whatever, they're going to have a high HCG. So that's mm-hmm. how I feel about that.
Dr. Shendell, how is your test different than other tests that are used?
Well, for the HCG, we are using the most sensitive and accurate test. This one is testing for the beta subunits that I mentioned,
mm-hmm.
the intact
mm-hmm.
hormone, and also the fragment of the hormone.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, there is no test for the alpha subunit. So this 80-whatever% HCG positive is not 100%, I would think,
mm-hmm.
because some tumors, and we know that it's happening, is actually secreting the alpha subunit. There is no test for that. That is like an academic kind of endeavor that the clinical laboratory cannot perform.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our normals are less than 1 million tension units per ml. Actually, analytical sensitivity of test is 0.4. That means there is HCG detectable from 0.4 and up. Navarro's is 50.
Mm-hmm. Now, isn't this though part of a 7 test? Your test?
Yes, this is one
of the 7. Great, good. I'm following you then. Okay.
We're doing 2 tests for the aging hormone. One is for the blood serum.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is for the urine. Now, Navarro is doing, I think, this is the urine test. I'm not sure, or the drop of blood from the earlobe. I don't know which one he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter. But I can only tell you that this is the only laboratory, probably in the entire world, as I know it, who's doing urine HCG quantitative. We tell how much is in there.
Mm-hmm.
Other tests will be positive or negative. That's like the pregnancy test.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, our test is far, far ahead of that. You know, the pregnancy test may detect somewhere from 10 and up million tension units. If cancer patient has 10 units of HCG, that's pretty high.
Mm-hmm. Can you then tell us about the accuracy of your test? This is the cancer profile that incorporates 7 different tests.
Well, I was working with the idea that what one test cannot detect may miss, having a profile kind of a thing, several,
mm-hmm.
that much more unlikely to miss it. So this is why I put together a cancer profile.
Mm-hmm.
There is a liver profile, there's a hemopoietic profile, there are profiles already many in the clinical laboratory. And I put the idea of cancer profile into the clinical pathology world. This is a cancer profile. Because it has the markers, the main markers are the HCG, the PHI, I need to talk about, and the CEA cosmionic antigen, which is well known everywhere. And it also includes the thyroid-stimulating hormone, the liver enzyme, and the dihydroepiandrosterone, the adrenal hormone. The 7 tests will give an overall accuracy of 87 to 97%, which means that if we take 100 cancer patients from 87 to 97, those already have cancer, will die, will have positive diagnosis. Very infrequent when we are actually missing a cancer with an individual. And the reason may be that these people may have already been treated by something or another, by some method, a lot of times by traditional methods, surgery, chemo, radiation, there's a lot there about all those things. And some of these procedures will temporarily suppress the production and remove and kill the cancer cells. But this killing is unfortunately not forever. They come back with a rage once especially after chemo and radiation.
Now, I read that the test can pick up cancer up to 10 years before it is diagnosed by other tests.
Yes, exactly. That the classical example that I could follow and I did was my brother who lives in Santa Maria, California. He submitted to a yearly cancer profile test some years ago. He passed away a while back now. And from the entire profile, what he had abnormal was the PHI, phosphoacylisomerase, that was elevated exactly, almost exactly 10 years prior to the point when now he was diagnosed with an already metastasized prostate cancer. And then in a couple months later, he had an elevated CEA, which means that this thing migrated to the intestines. So he got a resection of his large intestine. Eventually, he had to get radiation therapy because he was growing little horns out of his skull. He had a metastatic bone metastasis. All very painful. And eventually, they just did it back. Didn't mind that at all, but he suffered a lot.
Now, does this mean I see, tell me if I'm correct, I see this as a test that someone could take if they're positive and they could then change their lifestyle and they could do as much prevention as possible and then take the test again. And if it's negative and they continue that lifestyle, they may not get cancer, or it may be less severe. Is that correct?
Well, that's the main idea, and that is correct. Now before, allow me, I need to mention the constituent PHI, phosphoacylisomerase. And there is dozens, if not hundreds, of pieces of literature, biomedical literature on this enzyme, but nobody knows about it. Doctors have no clue what I'm talking about. This enzyme is called AMF, human autocrine motility effect. This enzyme is made in large quantities, abnormal quantities in cancer cells, and once it's manufactured there and increases in amount, it will leave the cell. It sounds like a fairy tale again. And it will dock on the cell surface where there are receptors already genetically designed for it to be there. It will join with the receptor. And now the enzyme is named to be a neurokine, which is a bioeffector molecule. This means that the cell with this PHI enzyme sitting on it starts to vibrate, dislodge, and go somewhere else. So this enzyme is majorly responsible for cancer to spread. For cancer to spread, there are 2, maybe 3 mechanisms. One is mechanical. Mechanical means a needle or a knife, whatever could dislodge a cell from the body where it's being introduced to. That's one. And number two is the elevated presence of the PHI enzyme. The so-called circulating tumor cell can come only from these modalities. It can only come from a diagnostic workup like a biopsy or a surgery or an elevated presence of the PHI enzyme. And of course, people send their stuff to Greece to have their tests done. So I must mention that American Metabolic Laboratory is licensed in the states of Florida, New York, believe it or not, California, believe it or not. And we can do tests in every one of the 50 states. We are also CLIA and COLA certified. And I'm a clinical laboratory director in all the 50 states. All accept my credentials as doing well what I am and what we are doing.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me be clear. You can do the chemosensitivity testing now, too?
No, we don't. I'm not interested in that.
Okay.
Interested in that. I'm interested in non-toxic approach. And the chemosensitivity test, whatever they know in Greece, is suggesting a number of cytotoxic chemicals. And reading the Journal of Clinical Oncology, I find that the five-year survival, which is a cure for chemotherapy in the United States of America, is 2.1%, which means you take 100 individuals who receive chemotherapy, cytotoxic therapy, 98 will die before 5 years up. Two may make it.
Oh.
So I cannot favor that very much, but that's what that is. And I can't favor anything that will suggest such thing.
It was my understanding that it also tests things like turmeric, laetrile, some of the natural things, that it wasn't just...
Yes. Yes, indeed, that's the case.
Oh, good.
That's fine. You know, such things are usually involved, regardless, in a non-toxic therapy, because those are non-toxic, and they each have their particular value in the treatment. So I don't need to know that my or somebody's cancer is, sensitive to any of those agents, later or whatever that might be.
Mm-hmm.
So just give it to your patient and let the people be aware of it.
Right. So your test then, back to the prevention, so you could take this again and change the test by changing the factors that we know of that cause cancer. Is that correct?
Yes. If somebody would take the time and you visit our website, American Metabolic Laboratories.net. It's American, not Philippine, not Mexican. American Metabolic Laboratories.net. Mm-hmm. There I outline what I call the seven aspects of health. And this is when I'm talking about non-toxic metabolic therapy, changing lifestyle. The number one is the mind and the spirit. Okay, the mind is that individual me. I have to accept responsibility for my health, for my recovery, what it all is. And the spirit to me is God, and what I'm saying is God will not do it for me. God may do it with me. And if you want a biblical on it, I'm not a preacher, but I like Paul. Corinthians 9:27, he says, like an athlete, I train my body. I make it do things not what it wants to, but what it has. Otherwise, I fear I may be found unfit and taken out of the race. And I mention this to my patients because the road to happiness and health is not very easy. Like, you know, people have to do a lot of things to stop process. And it is not a choice. According to Paul, it's a responsibility, not a choice. Gee, I don't like this. I'm not going to quit coffee or I'm not going to quit smoking. Well, don't.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you made the decision. The number two will be the purity of all things that we eat, drink, think, do, all those things. And the next one would be detox. Detoxing the mind first, forgive, forget, let go, let God kind of a thing, accept responsibility, and detox to the skin. We're working up a sweat, you know, perspiration, hot bath, in bath, sauna bath, whatever. I have an infrared sauna at home, of course. And perspire and detox through the skin. Another way is to detox through the large intestine, the bowel. Do colonic, lavage, colonic, high colonic enemas. My patients do ascorbic acid one day, and then they may do Epsom salt, and another they may do baking soda. And just vary it. We do not use caffeine for any. And then the next aspect would be exercise, the degree of exhaustion, more oxygen, less cancer, less oxygen, more cancer. That's how it is. So a person needs to exercise in the aerobic range, and that will help. the degree of exhaustion means that I need to know that I'm done some, and I also need to check my pulse that I'm in the aerobic range or not. Otherwise, I'm just accumulating lactic acid, and that will more promote cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And then will be proper rest, meditation. Meditation for me is prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking about all the wonderful things that God has given me, and
mm-hmm.
being thankful for all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
the next one, maybe not the least, is to love and being loved.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these are the changes that the person needs to adopt. And indeed, and only such way one can change the markers.
You know, I'm delighted that you put the spiritual first and that you included the mental and spiritual. When I had lung cancer 43 years ago, they gave me 6 months to live with chemo surgery. I refused both. I used Laetril. But I also, in addition to all of the physical and the vegan diet, etc., I did prayer, meditation, visualization, affirmations, gratitude, forgiveness, all of the spiritual things. And it took 2 years and the cancer was gone. But I have never had a recurrence. I have continued, you know, the spiritual peace in my life. It's just a part of my life. And I think that that is so important, and the peace that is so often left out.
No, there's no other way. I want to read you something. I almost know it by heart. And we send this little note out to every one of our people who get tests from us.
This
mm-hmm. is 114. It is so profound. It says, "Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So profound.
Right.
When
right.
I talk to people, I ask them if they ever pray. Some people, most people do, but they don't have enough faith.
Right.
You know, they have fear because they don't trust the magnificence and the love of our Creator.
Right, right. Then who is using the test presently, profile test?
Well, we have an ever-increasing repertoire of physicians, MDs, DOs, chiropractors, naturopathic doctors,
mm-hmm.
but still mostly we, the people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There is no institutional acceptance, except I was giving a presentation at the Cancer Control Society on Labor Day.
Yeah, I saw that.
And,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And 2 days later, I presented my case to the American Society of Clinical Pathologists in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been putting articles and notes into that organization. They have no problem with that. And also American Association of Clinical Chemists. I've been giving a lecture to American Chemical Society. Everybody is just opening and say, how wonderful. But I think everybody should have this crazy test to
I
give
agree.
Them a forewarning
right.
and giving them a chance to correct before there's a tumor.
Well, it's like the best kept secret up until this point. And I'm glad that you're out there making people aware of it, because I wasn't aware of it until I did this thing on diagnosing cancer for my cancer foundation. I had never
yeah.
heard of it before, and I have put a few things on Facebook about it, and the response from other people is they hadn't heard of it either. So doctors are not, you know, bringing this up, or at least the ones that they're visiting aren't bringing it up. And it's so important, I believe.
But we hear from doctors one by one. We are, you know, we still are a rather small volume laboratory, but we're getting specimens from every one of the continents. Just last week, I was a 34-year-old young woman visiting from Nigeria.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
With breast cancer. She heard about it, and she doesn't want to do tradition. They cut one of her breasts off. She don't want to have the other one going, and she wants to prevent. She wants to know where she stands with it. She came here for that reason. And we have people coming from all over the world, one by one. We are far from being a lab coat or a quest or being millionaires, but what we do is we do it with compassion, love, and knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Great. You mentioned that you could then use it as a prevention so that you could have the test, then you could change your lifestyle, etc., have the test again and hopefully prevent it. What about cancer survivors? Can they use this test after they have had treatment?
Of course they can. You know, my take on this is that according to epigenetics, I should have a whole big bag full of cancer genes. Mutations could happen in them. And I am to die with or of cancer. My mom, my sister, my brother, my sister is alive, but okay, so she has it. My aunt, my grandfather. So why would I be the exception? So what happens is that I do have these genes, and these genes we all have, but these genes are remaining dormant, especially in our early age. It's about 40 generally. It's becoming worse now because more carcinogens in the environment. 40, 50, and then bang, bang, that is people coming down with cancer one after the other. So we have these cancer genes, but they are dormant. And they come alive because we make them do so with our lifestyle, which is not very much for life. It is actually for death. And we, I would say it very commonly, we irritate these genes, say, okay, I'm going to kill you now. And they actually express themselves. And then comes Mr. Smith, I'm sorry you have breast cancer. And what do I need to do? Well, you know the story. That's going to be a mammogram, which will add to the cancer because radiation actually increases cancer stem cell activity. There's going to be a biopsy. There's going to be a surgery. There's going to be chemo radiation, the whole thing. So we have these genes, and we need to keep these genes dormant. And the only way you can do it is if you stop doing things which are carcinogenic. Of course, we know that alcohol, we know that smoke. I'm convinced caffeine is one of them, and I just understand that California Starbucks will have to put a label on their coffee that it has a carcinogen in there. I wonder if that's a court case that I read about it. So, you know, we have all these habits which will contribute to our demise.
So someone could have cancer, and then they're declared cured or in remission, and then they could do this test, and it would not pick up what they had, but if it comes back, it will pick it up. Is that correct?
Well, yes. Now, the interesting thing is that, and the alarming thing is that, like we see a number of breast cancer patients and prostate cancer patients, and all the others. And I like to read the reports, the surgical reports and the impressions of various visualization, whatever. So after surgery, they say that we removed the tumor with clear margin, or we took the breast off and clear margin, which means that the doctor who did the surgery could see nothing there, that would be cancerous. Then we do the cancer profile. If there is this PHI enzyme present, that cancer didn't just sleep over where they took it off of. This cancer has the propensity to move, and this enzyme is one of the main reasons for that to move. So if a person is quote-unquote cured after surgery and has no elevated PHI, then really, really need to gear up. And if does have PHI, even have to gear up more. But it's a good thing that the tumor is removed because there is a so-called tumor burden. If you have a large tumor, there's so many cells will be able to come loose of it because of the PHI enzyme. There's no other reason for that. When they remove this tumor, whatever size it is, there still may be a tumor cell here or there and there. But it might be much smaller, not yet visualizable by CT or MRI or anything else. Then you have to hit it with nothing more or less than a well-designed, non-toxic, well-attended to metabolic program.
Now, I understand the test is relatively inexpensive. Is that correct?
Yes. I don't know what all that means, but the cancer profile, 7 tests, prescription, shipping, everything else is $498 for seven tests. I also do the longevity profile, which includes the cancer profile, but it will tell me what else there may be wrong in the individual who is diagnosed with cancer, who is heading for cancer.
Oh.
That will have a very detailed coronary risk factor profile. There's going to be a sex hormone profile, a bone health profile, a stress profile. That includes just about so many aspects of our existence.
Mm-hmm.
I call it like a full body scan without radiation.
Mm-hmm.
They used to do full body scan, a CAT scan for prevention. People underwent that they got cancer, they stopped doing that.
Now, can you get the longevity without the cancer profile, or are they together?
No, the cancer profile is definitely part of longevity because that's one of the main life-shortening events, like you said, one of every two.
Mm-hmm.
These other things will further lower a person's resistance, and the system may have to fight against so many things, not only cancer at the time, if they have other problems.
Mm-hmm. If a patient has cancer, do you recommend then the profile or the longevity profile?
Well, the cancer profile for sure, if a person really wants to go after it, this individual needs to know how her adrenals work, how her sex is hurt. Sex hormones are, how her coronary situation is, how the, all the organs. So that is a very ideal thing to do. So one doctor, and I gave a lecture in San Juan, Puerto Rico, it was before the sickness, the hurricane, said, hey, Dr. Chanel, what you're doing is biochemical fortune telling, telling us what our patients will become ill of 10 years from now. They are not interested in it, he said. I really like the expression biochemical fortune telling because that's what we do. Of course, I don't believe in fortune telling, but this is scientific.
Right. Now, insurance does not pay for this. Do you anticipate in the future that they will?
Well, insurance will pay. We are not in the network, but every insurance company knows that we are legal and out there and we do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They declined Medicare a few years ago because they wouldn't be if it didn't. They don't pay. Not enough, very little. But we do not accept insurance assignments. But if an individual has his or her own doctor ordering the test and they have private insurance, that they can get the reimbursement, whatever the out-of-network would pay. And people do collect money for that.
When I mentioned that I thought the test was relatively inexpensive, I saw a nutritional test that checked all the nutritional aspects in the body, and it was something like $1,800 or $2,000. So when you look at the two, it's relatively inexpensive.
Well, it is. My take on that is that I do write programs, metabolic programs, which involve, the aspects of health I mentioned to you, supplements, one of them. And I'd rather have people spend their money buying those supplements. We all have daily requirements, not an RDA, the recommended daily requirements, which are called the ridiculous daily requirement, but we all have that. So a well-designed program will address all those requirements. And there are some 60 essential nutrients we need every day. So, so why spend the money testing for vitamin A, B, C, D? Just take them. And if you take them, you're going to be... values will go over the ceiling, and that's how I like to have it.
Do you let, can patients order the test themselves, or do they have to go through a doctor?
No, they can order a test themselves. Of course, there is a requirement that is ordered by a physician, MD, DO, chiropractor, podiatrist, dentist, and in some states, naturopathic doctor can order it. Those who don't have an ordering physician, our pathologist, who is an associate professor of pathology at the McGill University of South Carolina, and she also has a license here in Florida, is ordering the test for those nation and internationally. So they people can come to us directly. The advantage of that is that if these people order it directly, then there will be... I will be very happy to, and I spend my whole day with that to explain people what that test means, so that they're not going to be in the dark. Hey, now what does this all mean? Even though we send an interpretation, it's not people's specialty.
Right. As far as the blood for the test, Can that be drawn at various sites around the country, such as LabCorp, or the doctor draws it, or how?
Yes, it can be drawn, and it should be drawn somewhere. We don't go to LabCorp nor Quest.
Oh, okay.
But that can be drawn at any other local agencies, phlebotomy, blood drawing agencies, whatever. And we are collecting a referral reference range to where we can send people. People can give us their zip code, and we can find out if anybody we can refer them to in that area for drawing the blood. So far, everybody got their blood drawn from Alaska to Sydney, Australia.
So, and you have other tests then. Do you do I call it from the bar, the HGT test. Do you do that separately, or is it only in the cancer profile?
No, we can do it separately. We always put a stamp on the report who just only won the HGT. That is very totally inadequate for diagnostic support or a prognostic opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because oftentimes we find there is no HCG, but there will be PHI or a CEA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, if nothing else, we have a tumor marker profile, which I believe has the two HCGs, PHI and the CEA carcinogenic antigen.
Mm-hmm.
But the person also seriously should be concerned with the DHEA test that we're doing, because the DHEA is the adrenal anti-stress pro-immunity longevity hormone. It is important for the thymus gland to manufacture T cells, T lymphocytes, and that's our front line of defense against cancer and other diseases.
Mm-hmm.
Most cancer patients have hardly any, and most people in America have hardly any DHEA. I don't know whether that's Washington, D.C., or what the stress is, but there's a lot of it and no DHEA.
Mm-hmm.
And we report this on a chart so a person knows where he, she is. And what we find is a 35-year-old man or woman will have the DHEA level of an 85-year-old, which means their adrenal is sort of exhausted and their immunity is down. I don't see how can one recover or protect themselves without a good thymic immunity, and the DHEA is required for that.
Mm-hmm. Your two main tests then are the cancer profile and the longevity.
Yeah, that's all. Yes, now that's the longevity profile has some about 60 tests or so many.
Mm-hmm. And are you working on additional diagnostic tests?
Yes, I am. I'm trying to look into the NAGLase test. You may have heard about that, and I'm trying to see if we can set up T lymphocyte test for T cells. So the answer is yes. I'm very open, and so far we're doing okay what there is.
Mm-hmm.
But like the NAGLase that made a big name for itself. People been sending for that test to Belgium and Germany,
mm-hmm.
and I find out that the half life of the enzyme is, I think it's 18 hours or something like that.
Oh.
Which means by the time it gets to Belgium or Germany, it's already no good.
Oh.
But people are still ordering it. And the good thing about the cancer profile is, and the longevity profile, it doesn't need to be shipped here overnight for the cancer profile for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't need any dry ice or anything. We have preservatives in a little tube, so one tube will be for the serum. It has a preservative in there. Another one for the urine also has a preservative in there.
Mm-hmm.
So these samples will survive 2 weeks easy in transport.
Very good. Then is there anything else you'd like to say before we look at, again, services, products, any books that you have, and how the listeners can connect with you?
Well, I can only say that this is American Metabolic Laboratories, and it's a corporation, and I'm the director. We are fully, duly licensed, and we have more permits and license than all that we have all states. Practically, we pay everybody a fee for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say that my experience, people living in the laboratory, I love the profiles. Of course, I do the longevity profile for myself. I don't have to pay for it. I'm the director.
Mm-hmm.
I do that twice a year, every 6 months. I just had it done recently, last week, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to know if anything is changing for the wrong way.
Right.
And mm-hmm. and if I know it in time, that's when I can stop it. If I wait long enough, like most people who come here and they already have a situation, most people.
Mm-hmm.
And family members will be tested for cancer profile who have cancers in this. I guess people become aware that cancers may be running in families as well, like I said, in my case.
Mm-hmm.
They have these cancer genes. So, of course, I strongly recommend that. Not only that, if Washington would ever listen and read some of the letters and things I'm sending there, improve national health and reduce the cost of it,
mm-hmm.
they need to introduce a reimbursement for preventive alternative integrative medicine, which would include, of course, the testing and doing.
Mm-hmm. Prevention has always been the low end of the money thing. I think it used to be 2.5% of the national budget. I don't know what it is now, but it always got a very small piece of the money pie from the federal government. They didn't see it as important, but I think that it's the most important piece.
And that's interesting because you never even hear about that.
Yeah.
All the big budgets and the budget planning and talking back and forth and the Obama plan and then comes the Trump plan. Mm-hmm. But what about prevention?
Right. Well, the money goes into heart transplants and all the things that our people call exciting. It was the same when I was teaching. It was very difficult to get my nursing students to go into public health. They wanted to be where the action was. They wanted to be in the emergency unit. And so it was very difficult because they had already made up their mind when I got them as students, and it was very difficult to, show them the value of going out into the community, working with groups and everything to prevent diseases in populations and in individuals and families. But,
the trend is, and it's very obvious, that more and more and more and millions of people are sort of being alienated out from traditional medicine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's so much tragedy involved with the traditional medicine and treatment, people are afraid of it.
Right,
And the money is flowing now towards the integrative medicine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, I am somewhat in the battle with what integrative medicine is doing,
mm-hmm.
what's good and what is just not that good. But
right.
It's a crazy word.
Right. Well, there's a lot of negativity toward things like vaccines, for one, which was part of the backbone of public health in the past. But I think that they're just from what I read, but it's with all of medicine, I think that people are moving toward the functional approach, or they're moving toward the integrated approach, and they're wanting something that is more effective than what we have now. And my own belief, personally, is there is a cure for every disease, a natural cure. It's just a matter of finding the right thing. And it goes back to my belief that God provides for us, and God has put all of the healing out there. It may be through the alternative doctor or the naturopathic doctor, but there's a way to treat everything without all of the invasive and the drugs and all. And I think more and more people are recognizing that.
I maintain the truth of that. One of the sentences I concocted 30 some years ago is that the human body has the divine ability to heal itself.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
What you're saying is that the ability will have the, or will take advantage of all these hidden things that God puts into things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
For instance, look at women who do actually need hormone replacement estrogen. Guess what? God put human estrogen into the soybean. I mm-hmm. don't like soy. It has so many bad effects.
Mm-hmm.
But estradiol, mm-hmm. bioidentical estradiol is derived from that soy.
Mm-hmm.
And now we know if we can help so many millions and millions of people with natural, God-made kind of estrogen. Mm-hmm. It's still made by God. It's not synthetic.
Mm-hmm. Well, pomegranate for prostate cancer prevention. I had diverticulitis. My doctor gave me a prescription for steroids. I threw it away, and I drank aloe vera, and it took 3 days. The pain was gone. They told me I'd never eat berries and nuts again. And that was 43 years ago. I have never had any problems since. I eat berries on my cereal every morning. I eat nuts every day. And so, you know, I find as much as I can natural ways to deal with everything. I have AFib, and I finally found a way to get my heartbeat back in sync. And that is with CBD oil, cannabis.
Yeah, I'm using it. I started using the oil, yeah.
Isn't it CBD wonderful? I think.
Yeah. Yes, yes. No, I am 100% with you. People ask me if I believe in this and that. I tell them I only believe in God.
Right.
The rest I may know, or I need to find out.
Well, yeah. Dr. Shindell, will you give us your website again?
Sure. AmericanMetabolicLaboratories.net.
Great. Well, this has been fantastic, and I'm so happy that I had the opportunity to meet you and to talk with you, because, as I say, I got so excited about this test to be used for preventing cancer. And so I think that it's would be so useful to people listening. A lot of them know about the Navarro test. You know, when you mentioned that as part of this whole a group of tests that are used for diagnoses, they will relate at least to that part if they don't know the other tests. So it's a matter of getting the information out there, I think.
I much appreciate what you're doing. I look through your website. It's quite intense. It's a lot of fantastic information, and I appreciate the dedication you have and the spirit of God behind it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that very much, and I thank you again.
I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show, and I hope some of the information will be useful to you. I invite you to my websites, holistichealthshow.com, where you will find all shows for the past 7 years under the blog. You will also find much of the research on natural ways to deal with cancer and other health conditions, and can sign up for my free monthly newsletter. On my website, beatlungcancer.net, you will find many of the 135 interviews from radio and television over the past 2 years about my book on treating lung cancer naturally and holistically when I was diagnosed 41 years ago next month and given 6 months to live by traditional medicine who offered chemo and surgery. This book was published in November 2012 and was a bestseller on Amazon. You will find endorsements of the book, a place to buy the book, and an earlier one from 2007 titled Healthy Holistic Aging, A Blueprint for Success. On my third website, you will find information on the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation, begun last year, and currently in the phase of completing the website. This site is at www.holisticcancerfoundation.com. Information on how the foundation differs from others, board members, research on holistic natural ways to deal with cancer, including mental and spiritual interventions, interviews with cancer physicians and survivors, and more. If you would like to donate to the work I am supporting, there is a tab to donate, and I can offer you a tax exemption receipt if living in the United States. I also invite you to join me on Facebook at my Facebook page, facebook.com/Carl Helvey, on my Holistic Health Show page at www.facebook.com/pages/Holistic Health Show, and the Carl O. Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation page at www.facebook.com/beatlungcancernaturalalternative. On LinkedIn, I invite you to join me under my name, Dr. Carl O. Helvey. On Twitter, I invite you to join me at www.twitter.com/HolistHealthShow, HolistHealthShow. I wish you a great week, and I look forward to having you here in 2 weeks. I'm Dr. Carl O. Helvey, your host.